Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon, broadcasting to you live, unrehearsed, and unscripted on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side of the world, on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings this afternoon go out to several places. The first one is to thank everybody, all of Captain Joe's people who participated in Give Big last week. And I was able to get a few of my regular features in along with the people that I interviewed with for Give Big. And so along with thanking all of Captain Joe's people who contributed, and especially those who, when you make a donation to Voice of Vashon to help keep me in the captain's chair, keep the station broadcasting, I will always be in the captain's chair, but to keep it live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, and broadcasting requires that all of Captain Joe's people and all of the people who listen to Voice of Vashon help it financially. And so it is especially warming to my black captain's heart when Kate, the ever-lovely executive director, sends me a signal that tells me that somebody has not only sent a donation, but has said that it is to keep the captain's chair broadcasting. And I am especially grateful for that because this is the only program that we have a good idea of who is listening, how many people are listening, and the incredible generosity that they continue to show. For that, I am very grateful, and to all of you who donated, and especially to those of you who let Kate know that it was in part for the captain's chair, even more do I send out a thank you, a mahalo, and bravo Zulu. I also want to recognize, and am going to recognize, that the sponsor this year for the whole operation was an island business that we call here on the island Sawbones, but is really, its real name is something like Pacific Scientific. It is an island business that makes skeletons and other pieces of the human body for the training of surgeons, for the training of physicians, for the training of first responders. Everybody who has the opportunity to work on the human frame in an emergency situation is probably using equipment which is produced by Pacific Scientific, which we call here on the island Sawbones. One of the good things about this particular business, which is true of a number of other island businesses, is that they make a special effort to hire people who might not be able to get a job someplace else. They structure their hiring practices and they structure the job descriptions such that they are able to give employment to people that might not be able to get a job someplace else. So that's part of it. Part of it is that they are also very conscious of their responsibilities as a member of the island family to support such things as the Voice of Vashon, which is what they did for Give Big. I send out also greetings to all of the mothers, because Sunday was Mother's Day. and to all of the kite flyers, because Sunday was Kite Day, and we celebrated both of those occasions out at Point Robinson, and it was just a glorious day. The weather was perfect, except that I was not able to fly the dragonfly, because the dragonfly takes about 15 knots of wind to get it up and keep it up. It is a complex kite. It's a very large one. The wingspan is about 6 feet. And it weighs quite a bit. It has a bridle. All of you bosun's mates out there know how to rig a bridle when you're rigging a tow all the way aft by the towing bits. So it has a bridle rather than just a spring clip to clip the line, the kite line, to the kite. So we didn't have enough breeze to get the dragonfly up, but I had my daughter and my granddaughter and my son-in-law came out. Always wonderful to have them at island events. And a number of other of Captain Joe's people. So I had been to an event which was sort of a fundraiser and sort of a teaser put on by Charlotte, who has been with me on this program a number of times in her capacity as the head of the Vashon Repertory Theater. And at the end, Charlotte said, "Does anybody have anything they want to say?" Well, that is throwing raw meat out in front of the Lion King. That's what my daughter calls me, the Lion King. And so that's throwing raw meat out in front of the Lion King. And, of course, I said, well, I'd have something to say, and that is this, that if you have not seen The Troll, Oscar the Troll, or if you want to come to a celebration of mothers, or if you want to come and fly a kite, all three of those things are going to happen simultaneously at Point Robinson starting at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And sure enough, a number of people who had been at that particular gathering with Charlotte showed up. And not only did they show up, but at least one or two of them flew kites. The Vashon Park District gave away some 150 kites, and they were all gone by the end of the day. So we know we had at least 150 kids out there flying kites that came from the Vashon Park District. So not only do I thank everybody who came, but it was lovely to see you all, and especially as is happening more and more frequently now, people on the island that I haven't seen for a while and who come to events where they know that I'm going to be there. And we have a chance to touch fingertips, have a hug, and to get a little bit caught up. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day, and I am still basking in the glow and the warmth of all of the wonderful people that came out. And we had probably more kite flyers for Kite Day this year than we have ever had before. Now, I hold no illusions that many of those people came to Kite Day by mistake. They came actually to see Oscar the Troll, and the parking situation has become completely out of control, and we're going to have to figure out some way to manage that. But I believe that many of them came to see Oscar, and then they saw the sign that said, Kite Day, Mother's Day. And so they came on down the hill to the lighthouse, and there was the captain, and we just had some wonderful conversations and some wonderful visits. And there was enough of a breeze to get the small, lightweight kites up. On the binnacle list, unhappily, in the last week and 10 days, I've had reports of Captain Joe's people who have endured some pretty serious surgeries, and that these surgeries carry with them not only a recovery, but in both cases, some pretty painful recoveries. So all of you who are on the Binnacle list, and especially those new entries who are surgery survivors, know that you are, as always, in the palm of my hand, and that you will follow the instructions of the physicians that you have engaged to take care of you and to get you through this very difficult time. My warning, of course, now I'm talking to you as a member of the board with the Pacific Northwest Poison Center, is that many of the pain medications that are issued carry with them some real challenges and some real dangers. And it is my hope and my wish and my command that you are TFI, that you follow the instructions of your medical practitioner, especially with regard to the pain medications that you've been issued. The 2024 navigation or hurricane season, it is always the navigation season. The hurricane season starts on the 1st of June, and it goes until the 30th of November. All of the agencies that predict things like this are predicting a particularly high level of both frequency and intensity of storms. These storms are form up as a result of the heating of the surface water. And in many parts of the world, surface water temperatures are at the highest levels that that have existed since we've been keeping records of this sort of thing, and we've been keeping records of water temperatures for centuries. So, especially on the trade routes that follow the trade winds, and so we have a good idea and are able to predict with some pretty high level of accuracy what the water temps are going to be, and that tells the people who predict these things that this is probably going to be a pretty intense time when it comes to the storms that form up during the hurricane season, or as they say in Britain, hurricane season. I know that everybody of Captain Joe's people who are in places that are at risk from hurricanes will be taking all of the necessary preparations and precautions, semper paratus. It will be heartbreaking if it is necessary to report any damages, especially to any of Captain Joe's people who are so close to my heart. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we are in one of the most benign weather places in the world. We don't usually have much in the way of extremes, but we do have here on the Magical Isle, we have a lot of trees, and many of them are tall, right around my house. There are Douglas firs that are well over 100 feet tall. Right over our bed, I had a skylight put in, and Mary and I would lie there and look up through the skylight and see the trees going back and forth as the wind would blow, and she would say, "Joseph, aren't you worried that one of those trees is going to fall on this house and therefore on us?" "No, Mary R., I'm not worried about that. There are other things about which I may have some concern. But those trees are deeply embedded in the soil, and they are designed by the Creator to flex. It is one of the reasons why the East Coast, when it was first settled, especially by the English, was such a valuable piece of property because the Brits had worked very hard to cut down as many trees in England and in Great Britain, but in England in particular, as they could find, and they needed spars for the Royal Navy. And so when they discovered that Virginia in particular, North Carolina in particular, when you get away from the coast, that these places had an almost infinite supply of very long trees, very high trees that could be cut down and used for masts and spars and yards and other pieces of nautical equipment. So I will be watching the hurricane season. The National Weather Service has come up with 30 names. So we can have only 30 named storms this year. Actually, that's not true, because if there are more than 30, then they go into the second alphabet. It's sort of like in Washington, D.C., the lettered streets, A through Z, A through Z. Actually, there is no Z. When you run out of that alphabet, you go into the second alphabet, which is with one-syllable words, which is also true in Arlington County, which was intended to be the Virginia contribution to the District of Columbia. Those are parenthetical insertions in my discussion of the hurricane season. So we'll be watching out for that. The National Weather Service is predicting that there will be 4 to 6 really large storms that will have a direct impact on the United States. We'll see how accurate they are. In Baltimore, for those of us who come from that part of the world, that's how you pronounce it, Baltimore. It's funny how different places in the world pronounce place names differently, but that there is one official and accepted pronunciation for all people who live in that part of the world, and for Baltimore, it is Baltimore. Explosives were used to blast some of the bridge sections off of the bow of the motor vessel Dolly. And you can go on to, here comes a YouTube recommendation. You can go on to YouTube and you can watch the explosives. They were so carefully placed and so carefully calibrated as to size. This one, I think, came from a contractor for the Army Corps of Engineers. Whoever did it, they sure did do it right, because if you watch that YouTube clip, you'll see, first of all, the explosions of the very carefully placed explosives, and then you'll see the metal as it falls. What I found interesting was that I thought that when this happened, that the bow over which the sections of metal have been lying would rise up a little bit. But she did not move a jot, nor a tittle, nor a centimeter, nor a part of a fathom that I could see. Which tells me that there's something else that's holding her bow down. And that means that when they go to pull her off, they're going to have to, first of all, lighten up the forward section of the ship so that they don't do any damage to the bottom, such as opening up a hole, scraping a hole in the bottom. So this was done on Monday, and you can take a look at it. And the Port of Baltimore put out a press release, and the press release included the following words: incredible work by the entire Unified Command. And I make the point here that that unified command is commanded by a Coast Guard captain who is the captain of the port and who is ultimately responsible for the success or failure of everything that happens in that port. that brigadier who is the Army Corps of Engineers, I guess he's the chief for that particular area for the Army Corps, reports to that captain. By the way, that's not an unusual situation where a senior will in rank will report to a junior in rank. And it is often in operational situations, and this is one of them. The Corps, however, not wanting to miss the opportunity, put out a press release saying that the Corps intends to have the deep water, the 50-foot channel, open by the end of May. Well, Brigadier, I'm telling you this again, you listening to Captain Joe and this broadcast, that captain of the port, that Coast Guard captain, he's the one that's going to make sure that that 50-foot channel is open. But they're doing a wonderful, wonderful job, and I thank the Port of Baltimore for recognizing that it is a team effort on the part of the entire Unified Command, commanded by a Coast Guard captain. In icebreaker news, all bad, because no progress is being made on the Coast Guard, what the Coast Guard is now referring to as the Polar Security Cutter, but they can't fool me. She's a WAGB, which means W stands for Coast Guard, A stands for Auxiliary, and GB stands for Icebreaker, Big Icebreaker. She's a WAGB, and she is under construction, if she were ever to be under construction, in Bollinger Shipyard down in the Gulf. Now, Bollinger just announced that they are building a space rocket transport ship. Or why are they building a space rocket transport ship when they're supposed to be building and have been contracted for and have been paid for part of the next WAGB? This requires further inquiry on the part of your captain, and it shall, and it is so ordered, and it shall happen. Soon, I'm going to have Captain Dr. Professor Lawson Brigham, who has been with me before, who worked for me when I was the ICE boss, and with me as Sea Daddy to the Coast Guard cutter Healy. He will come on with me soon, and we're going to talk about what is happening or is not happening with the icebreaker. In the meantime, Navy shipbuilding is having its own problems. Several years ago, a decision was taken and the first drawings were laid out for a class of frigates, which are smaller than destroyers, and they are being named the Constellation class frigates. And this now has been delayed so much that they are not getting any money for that program in the proposed budget for the fiscal year that starts on the 1st of October. No money is to be authorized for that. At least that's where it stands as that legislation comes out of committee. I'm wondering whether or not the Constellation-class frigates, and that it's a lovely-looking ship, may go the way of the littoral combat ship, the Zumwalt class of three incredibly ugly and with no mission destroyers, and now a ship that the Navy is calling and they're building on behalf of the Marine Corps, the medium landing craft. I'll have something to say about medium landing craft because the Coast Guard manned many of them during World War II. When we talk about, I'm shifting now to a business. Not too long ago, I talked about St. Christopher, and I talked about the St. Christopher medal and the chain around which he hangs needing repairs. And so because we have no one here on the island anymore that does that, at least of which I'm aware, I found a business over in Tacoma called Furcrest Jewelers. And I took St. Christopher and the chain over there and had them repair it. And I picked them out because the website, I looked at the website, their website, and the website talked about it being a family business. Joe. Now, any business owner whose first name is Joe certainly starts off with a good feeling in my black heart. Joe and Leah. So they did a lovely job on repairing the chain, and I decided that I would go to them again to have some links taken out of the bracelet for my watch. Now, the watch that I have has to be wound every day. It's an Omega, has to be wound every day. Omega is not a Rolex. It's not a Patek Philippe. It's a very workmanlike watch. I've had this one for many, many years, and I have used it as a hack watch. In other words, to take the time when I would take star sights or sun lines or any kind of nautical astronomy where you have to also take time. So I took it over to Furcrest Jewelers and was greeted there by yet another employee, Roslyn. Turns out that nepotism is alive and well in Furcrest Jewelers. Roslyn is the daughter of Tricia, and Tricia is the one who accepted custody of St. Christopher and the chain when it was time to get it repaired. I bring all this up because I like to recognize businesses that are also family operations. So they took the Rosalind took my watch into the back room. I'm thinking it has vanished forever, and I'm going to have to put my backup Timex on. And she returned very shortly, and she had taken a couple of links out because I've taken off a few pounds in the Captain's Weight Reduction Program, acronym CRAP. And the watch was hanging loosely on my wrist, and I always wear it on the inside of my wrist because that's where hack watches are. That's how you do it. And that's one of my affectations. I remain convinced that one of these days I will be in command once again, and I will keep my hand in with sextant and time. Now, I know that's not really going to happen, but I always like to think that, and so I keep the watch on the inside of my wrist rather than on the outside. So I said to Rosalind, this watch has to be wound every day, and now it is showing signs of needing some professional attention. Can you do that? And she said, well, we have a person that does Omegas and Rolexes and things like that. And so I am headed over there in the next few days to drop my Omega off, and hopefully they will do good work with it. But this is a business that I have come to induct into Captain Joe's people, and so they get a mention today on our broadcast. Soft groundings. This is a term that the Navy has come to use, that when a ship has gone aground but she doesn't stick, you can get her off. Three of them. Three soft groundings. One near Bahrain, one down off of the west coast of Africa, and one near Bali, a destroyer near Bali, run aground. The naval USNS Alan Shepard down near Bahrain, and a vessel, the USS Herschel Williams, a soft grounding. Now, I've told you all before, I have been aground. I've been aground off of the coast of Vietnam, and that was because we were running in to take up a firing position, and we knew what the risks were. We knew that we were running on a very shallow gradient with about 1 foot Well, we ran out of that 1 foot between the bottom of the ship and the actual bottom, and we went aground. And I backed her out of the same trench that we dug going in and bent every single blade of all both propellers. Had to go up in the dry dock in Subic. But we were able to keep going just with a lot of thumping from those propellers. The point I make here is that in all three of these cases, so far as I can tell, there was some inattention to duty on the part of the people on the bridge as to how they got to where they were, because in all three of these areas, it's, I think, pretty well charted. And so having said all of that, we have once again come to the end of our time together. As always, this is your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. And I mentioned that my granddaughter Simonzi was with me on Sunday. She and I always part by saying this: we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.